Welcome to Market Week in Review for the week ending March 29th, 2024. I'm Sophie Antel-Gibert, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Bei-Chen Lin, Investment Strategist for Russell Investments. Hi, Bei-Chen, how are you?
Pretty good, Sophie, how are you?
I am very good. So I'm hoping that we can get your take on three topics in particular today. The first one is about earnings. The second one is housing and the real estate market. And the third is about our continued sort of risk on, risk off, or neutral position at the moment. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. So maybe starting with earnings. Earnings season is going to be here really, really soon, sort of starting next week and the weeks coming. What is your sort of anticipation and your expectation for what that might look like?
Sure. So there's a couple important things to note about earnings. First, when it comes to quarter one of 2024 and you look at where consensus earnings expectations are, those have been coming down over time. So as of right now, consensus is looking for about 5% year-over-year earnings growth for the first quarter, which would be a step down from the 10% earnings growth we had seen in the previous quarter. But you know, when it comes to earnings reports, there's always a chance of an Easter egg there. And in the previous few quarters, we've seen this trend where companies would routinely beat the start of quarter estimates that the analysts were expecting. So we're going to be on the watch for if that trend continues this quarter as well. And in addition, something else that we want to pay attention to is really some of the anecdotes and commentary within the earnings call. So for example, when we listen to the earnings calls of consumer-facing companies, do we hear any insights about whether consumers are still spending? There's been some discussion about the lower-income consumer and particularly whether they've been cutting back or whether they can still be resilient in their spending patterns, so that's something to keep an eye on. We're going to look at the bank earnings. Bank earnings often have a lot of details about their provisions for credit losses, so that'll give us a sense of what the banks think the state of the macroeconomy is. So all in all, there's a lot to look at, both on the headline and in the details as well. And then when we zoom out to the full year for 2024, analysts are expecting earnings growth of approximately 10% compared to 2023. Now, in a soft landing scenario, which is sort of our base case here at Russell Investments, that would be a pretty reasonable assumption. The challenge, though, is we still have a 40% probability of recession occurring over the next 12 to 18 months. And if a recession were to occur, instead of earnings growing by 10-15%, you get earnings falling or contracting by 10-15%. So when we sort of weigh out those probabilities, we find that earnings expectations might slightly be a little bit too optimistic, and that helps keep us on the more cautious side here at Russell Investments.
Well, that'll be really interesting to see then how earnings season turns out. And obviously with Easter being on Sunday, we'll definitely be attuned to watching out for Easter eggs in those earnings announcements. I look forward to hearing more about them next week from you and from your colleagues. Pivoting to the sort of housing market, home prices, real estate market, we are anticipating that the Fed might be, you know, lowering rates at some point. How, and we're not alone in that expectation, how is the housing market sort of pricing that in, expecting that? What are we seeing in the housing market?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the Fed's latest projections, they're expecting 3 rate cuts this year. And in terms of our base case, if we do see a soft landing, we think 3 rate cuts by the Fed this year is pretty reasonable. Generally speaking, housing is something that's very interest rate sensitive. So in an environment where interest rates are expected to fall, that should generally be pretty supportive in the housing market. And when we look across a range of housing indicators and we sort of look at a principal components analysis of these indicators, we can already see some early signs that perhaps the U.S. housing market is starting to bottom out a little bit, albeit at levels that are still somewhat weak. But it is an encouraging sign nevertheless to see that perhaps we're finally done with the rate hiking cycle and now the Federal Reserve this year can finally begin rate cuts. As we zoom out to the real estate sector more broadly, real estate in general is also very rate sensitive, regardless of whether it's residential housing, multifamily, commercial, retail. All these sectors will generally tend to benefit from a lower interest rate environment. And I think this is an important reminder that real estate can be an important part of an investor's portfolio. For a lot of investors, they think about stocks and bonds, but remember, real estate investment trusts, real estate-based mutual funds, they're also a great way to get exposure to the real estate market. Now, there is this one caveat that we still see a 40% probability of a recession happening in the next 12 to 18 months. in the event that a recession does materialize, we might see a little bit of volatility in the real estate sector. But bottom line is, when you look at most of the companies in the real estate space, a lot of them have very strong and robust balance sheets. And even if a recession does occur, we're certainly not expecting a repeat of 2008. So we think real estate looks like a very compelling place to start thinking about in 2024.
Okay, great. That's good to know. And I definitely like, it's always helpful to know where should I be looking and where is it maybe appropriate to be looking now. When I look at our sort of asset allocation and our positioning and our recommendation and views, at the moment, we're still sort of in a neutral position. And that's kind of where we're comfortable at the moment. Obviously, you've mentioned a couple of times in the last few minutes sort of our 40% chance view of sort of a recession in the next 12 to 18 months. Can you explain where is that neutral positioning coming from? Why is that where we're comfortable? And what does it actually mean? What does it mean to be neutral? Should I just be in cash? Like, what does neutral mean?
Sure. So a couple things. First, at Russell Investments, we have a cycle valuation sentiment framework. We think that having a robust framework helps keeps us disciplined. So when you look at the cycle perspective, there are some encouraging signs recently. We think that the Federal Reserve has made remarkable progress in bringing inflation back down gradually towards their target. And we think that there is a good chance that the Federal Reserve can pull off that soft landing. However, that soft landing is not guaranteed. We still have a 40% recession probability. And to give you a bit of a comparison, the typical recession probability in the US is about 15 to 20%. So that means that recession risks are still above average, even if they've come down from their peak. On a valuation perspective, equity valuations are something that's very difficult to do. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of assumptions that go into equity valuations. But across most valuation measures, when you look at U.S. equity markets, they generally seem to be on the more expensive side rather than closer to fair value. And that's something that also keeps us a little bit cautious. And then finally, when we look at investor sentiment, what we're seeing is that even though investors aren't yet at euphoria levels, there are clear signs that investors have already baked in a lot of optimism. Investors have already cashed their paycheck before they've received it. And so really the question in our mind is, will the Fed actually pull off that soft landing? Are we actually headed for that wonderful economic environment, or do we instead head to an economic slowdown and potentially a recession? And so because of that balance of risks that we see where, yes, there's some encouraging news, but also there's some factors that keep us a little bit more cautious, we tend to prefer to be neutral. So that means that we think investors would be well positioned to stick close to their strategic asset allocations rather than making big overweights or underweights to any particular asset classes. Now, one thing I should comment on is that when it comes to being neutral, we don't mean just passively investing in equities. Rather, when we say neutral, what we mean is stick close to a strategic asset allocation when it comes to the broad choices between risky assets and less risky assets. And as long as investors can stay disciplined, we think that's how they're going to make the most of these uncertain times.
Okay, that's a really helpful distinction and nuance there. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, Bei-Chen, that's all we have time for today. But thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. And thank you for joining us. We'll be back again soon.
Hi, I'm Sophie Antel-Gibert, Head of Portfolio and Business Consulting at Russell Investments. If you liked what you just saw and heard, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or check us out on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in.